growing up in Amritsar, we saw no Muslims.
Okay.
The mosques are still there. The names are still there of the streets, of the localities. But the ethnic cleansing was complete.
Right.
Virtually none survived. Either they were killed or they were forced to move. So I think there's a recognition that the violence was inflicted by both sides. There are nobody's innocent, and there are no winners. There are only losers on both sides from that wrenching partition that we had. You know, General Dyer came with his Gorkha and Baloch forces, and without any warning, opened a fire. According to the Hunter Commission of Inquiry that the British themselves appointed, 379 innocent unarmed persons were killed within the space of a few minutes. Other inquiry reports suggest it could have been as large as 1,000. It is the carnage, the death, the destruction, the pillage that was caused. Why? Because communal passions had been raised.
Mm.
You know, he writes that as India celebrating this year 1947, and those who know me know that I have always fought for India's independence, today I have to step back and ask, was it worth getting our independence at the cost of our humanity?
Hello Navdeep sir, welcome on the Awaram Safe show. I'm so happy to have you here. Because जैसे मैं आपको अभी बता रहा था ऑफ द कैमरा एज वेल कि फॉर समवन लाइक मी हु वाज बोर्न 50 इयर्स आफ्टर पार्टीशन पार्टीशन इज आई थिंक सो इट्स हिस्ट्री फॉर अस फॉर माय जनरेशन इट्स नॉट इमोशंस एंड थ्रू बुक्स लाइक दीज हिम्स इन ब्लड विच वॉज ओरिजिनली नेम्ड एज खून दे सोहिले इन पंजाबी सो बुक्स लाइक दीज आर आर सोर्सेस टू नो अबाउट पार्टीशन सो सर फर्स्टली वेलकम ऑन द शो.
Thank you very much, Ash. Pleasure to be on the show.
Awesome, sir. So, sir, let's start the discussion about this book, Hymns and Blood, which was written by Nanak Singh Ji, who is your grandfather. So, why did you choose to translate your grandfather's works?
So, it's very interesting that my mother was a Punjabi language professor.
Right.
So, she was in this unusual situation that she was an academic. Plus, she was the daughter-in-law of Nanak Singh, who was Punjabi's most famous writer.
Right.
And because she was an academic, she ended up teaching his novels as part of the curriculum in undergrad and postgrad and so on. So she would always say, Beta, your grandfather was such a natural genius of a storyteller that if only his books had reached a wider audience than just Punjabi. तो ये 15-20 साल पुरानी बात है तो उन्होंने मेरे ऊपर काफी प्रेशर डाला कि भाई फैमिली में तुम ही एक हो जिनकी अंग्रेजी थोड़ी ठीक ठाक है और पंजाबी भी जानते हो तो क्यों नहीं तुम कोशिश करते उनके कुछ एक उपन्यास अंग्रेजी में ट्रांसलेट करने तो मैंने उनकी पहली किताब करीब ऑलमोस्ट 20 साल पहले की थी उसका नाम था पवित्र पापी और पवित्र पापी एक बड़ी मशहूर फिल्म भी थी 1960s में बलराज साहनी परीक्षित साहनी तनुजा वगैरह की तो उसको मैंने ट्रांसलेट किया था वो इट वाज पब्लिश्ड एज द वॉचमेकर क्योंकि उसका एक अहम किरदार ही वो घड़ी साज है सो उसके बाद उनका एक और नॉवल था अधखड़िया फूल मैंने वो किया उसके बाद उनकी एक कविता थी लंबी कविता खूनी विसाखी जलियांवाला बाग कांड के बारे में और अब मैंने ये दो किताबें एक्चुअली बैक टू बैक शुरू की क्योंकि ये जैसे आपने बोला खून दे सोहले तो खून दे सोहले वाज अकंपनीड बाय अ सेकंड नॉवल व्हिच इज अ सीक्वल टू दिस एंड दैट इज कॉल्ड आग दी खेड सो आई सेड लेट मी पिक अप दीज टू नॉवल्स वन बिकॉज दे आर अबाउट द पार्टीशन Second, because they give two very distinct perspectives or dimensions on the partition. Khoon de Sohle or Hymns in Blood This is mostly about the migration of Hindu and Sikh families from the Pothohar region near Rawalpindi towards Amritsar.
Right.
The second book, Agni Khed, which is tentatively being called A Game of Fire, and it'll come out early next year, is about what was happening in Amritsar at that point of time. The beauty is that both the books are set during the first 8 months of 1947. The run-up to the independence, the run-up to the partition.
Right.
And the other thing, you know, there's a lot of partition literature around. I think what is significant about these two books is that this one was first published in February 1948. And the second one was published in September 48. So within a year of the partition. So there's a certain rawness about them, a certain immediacy about them, which I think is unique. Ke ek prasidh upanyaskar jo Amritsar mein us samay reh rahe the, unhone do back-to-back novel likhe, based largely on what he saw and heard. Aur wo kehte bhi hain ki ye kitabein jo hain dono, they are less fiction, more history. Or he calls it historical fiction.
Right. So, as you were mentioning before as well, ki aapke grandfather ne jitni bhi kitabe likhi, unme we can see ki kis tarah ka ek violence us time pe erupt ho raha tha between Muslims and Hindus, Sikhs, but there's also a message of harmony. So, how do you think in today's modern India, Pakistan as well, Bangladesh included, how can we see the partition today? Because एक बहुत ही अजीब सी एक सैडनेस आती है जब हम बात करते हैं अबाउट द पार्टीशन एंड देयर इज एंगर एज वेल देयर आर अ लॉट ऑफ इमोशंस दैट रन थ्रू एंड हम किताब में भी देखते जैसे हिमचंद ब्लड्स में देयर इज द फेस्टिवल दैट इज गोइंग ऑन एट दैट टाइम वी कैन एक्चुअली रीड कि किस तरह से जो नेबर्स थे इतने सालों से एक साथ रह रहे थे बट नाउ देयर सडनली एक टिंज ऑफ एंगर है सबके अंदर अबाउट देमसेल्व्स अबाउट देयर नेबर्स बिकॉज ऑफ रिलीजन. So how can we see this in the modern world? What kind of lessons can we take?
You know, that's a really good question. And that was my principal motivation ke mere grandfather ne 38 novels likhe, maine ye dono kyun chuna.
Right.
And I thought that while we are celebrating India at 75, and we are celebrating the many achievements of India during the last 75 years as an independent nation, it's also worth taking a step back and reflecting on the price that the country paid, particularly in Punjab and to an extent in Bengal, through the partition of those two prominent states. You know, even today we are seeing in India, certainly in Pakistan, certainly in Bangladesh, elsewhere, you have divisions in societies around religion, sometimes around ethnicity, sometimes around race, whatever. Agar Sri Lanka hai, to Tamil or Sindhala are in conflict. Pakistan hai, to chahe unhone ek Muslims ke liye desh banaya, to Shia aur Sunni ka jhagda hai. Ahmadiyyas ko Muslim nahi mante, right? In Bangladesh, you have a prominent religious party which is at odds, which thinks that the government is not Islamic enough. And in India, of course, over the last few years, you've seen an increase in polarization amongst communities. So I think a lot of that angst stems from the scars of the partition, the wounds of the partition. And perhaps some of them haven't still fully healed. So I believe that these novels give you a very reassuring message that yes, there was the trauma of the partition. Yes, the terrible things were done to each other. But even then, in many cases, humanity survived. So while this book talks about the ethnic cleansing in that Pothohar region and how this idyllic village where communities have lived together for generations is suddenly upended by the communal wave. At the same time, there are Muslims who are willing to give up their lives to save their Hindu or Sikh neighbors. So, you know, one is a reality and the second is also a reality. So what these books do is they encourage us, don't take a black and white approach. And at the end of the day, you know, what my grandfather says in the foreword of his second novel is that for me, I may be a devout Sikh, but I have one higher faith. And that faith, he uses a line from Guru Gobind Singh's poetry, which talks about the oneness of humanity. He says, for me, if I have one creed, it is that regardless of religion, caste, creed, you are one human race. And that is sacred for
me. Wow. How was the journey of translating a book from Punjabi to English, especially a book about partition, where there are so many emotions? And I'm sure there might have been words or probably phrases which you cannot translate from Punjabi to English. So can you talk about that journey?
Yeah, I mean, really, translation is at one level for me a labor of love. It is hard. You know, sometimes you find that you can do 3, 4, 5 pages very quickly. Sometimes you're stuck on one paragraph, one line.
Right.
And you know, for the translator, the challenge is to maintain this fine balance that you must remain true to the originals that was presented. And yet you must make it accessible and readable in the new language that you are working on. And there's, it almost invites you to take a leap of faith, because my characters are speaking in English, but they are characters rooted in Punjab, right?
Yeah.
So you are there, we are already creating a little bit of a fiction.
Okay.
But then what you want to try and do is, at least in terms of the period, if people had a certain way of speaking, can you capture that in English? So which means that I must resist my urge to translate it as I speak, using an occasional slang or whatever, and move back to how people used to speak at that point of time.
Right.
The second issue, which is a challenge really for translations, and I'll tell you, this one was still not that hard, but I have previously tried another of my grandfather's novels and I gave up, because the characters are so rooted in the soil. There's an afimchi. Every line that he speaks is a muhavra.
Wow.
It's a proverb, right? Every time he opens his mouth, he has... Now, that proverb may be one line, but it is linked to the season, the climate, the crop, the social custom, whatever. And there is no decent way to really explain that, in at least not in, in less than a paragraph, what he's, what that one short line means. So as a translator, then you step back and say, hey, I'm working on one of the true classics of Punjabi literature. Do I have the right to mutilate it? Or should I just say, mere mein itni kabliyat nahi hai is samay ki main isko justice kar paun. Let me wait until I feel that I have the level of proficiency and confidence to take on the challenge.
Right. Wow. So, sir, like when we talk about Nanak Singh Ji, and as you said, ki, his books are classics in Punjabi. So while growing up, I'm sure you have had many conversations with him. Can you talk about him? What was the experience of growing up with such an eminent writer? And what kind of things did you talk with him about the partition, especially?
So, you know, I have to say that my grandfather died in 1971 at the ripe old age of 74, when I was only 12.
Yeah.
But he was a very unusual figure. If you look at his persona, he was born in a fairly poor family in Jhelum district in what is now Pakistan, in a very, very small village called Chak Hamid. He was born into a Hindu family and his name originally was Hansraj Suri, in the family of Bahadur Chand Suri. His father had a little kiryana shop in Peshawar. So when he was only 8 years old, he was told, you come to Peshawar and help me in the shop. Jaise un dino pratha thi. But within a year of his coming to Peshawar, his father died from tuberculosis.
Okay.
And he, as the eldest child, was left to manage the family at the age of 9 or 9 and a half. And so he got no formal schooling beyond fourth grade.
Okay.
And yet, chauthi jamaat tak wo padhe the. Aur uske baavjood, he produced 59 books, including 38 novels. When he was in Peshawar, and he spent the first 8-9 years from the age of 9 to 8, 9 to almost 18-19, so 10 saal kareeb wo Peshawar mein rahe. So us samay he found that he was drifting in life without a purpose. He wanted to do something and he didn't know what. So he came under the influence of gaane ka shauk tha unko.
Okay.
So unhone tab harmonium wagaira sikha. And he got, came under the influence of a very pious granthi at the Gurdwara over there.
Okay.
So unke influence mein, at the age of 18, he decided to convert to Sikhism. So Hansraj became Nanak Singh.
Okay, wow.
And then he, of course, moved to Amritsar. We heard these things when we were growing up because hum Amritsar mein the, unka gaon tha Preet Nagar, which was about 15-20 miles from Amritsar.
Right.
So we would always, summer holidays, mein hamari ek reet bani hui thi ke we would go to the village, spend the summer holidays, sare cousins wagera aa jate the, koi bhua ke bache, koi chache ke, koi taaye ke. And we would, in the evenings, sit around him. He would sit on his bed, we would sit around him and we would say, Bauji, koi kahani sunao, Bauji, koi kahani sunao. And as 8, 9, 10 years old, the enduring memories that we have are that we were sitting with Punjabi's greatest writer, and impromptu, spontaneously, he would start narrating a story. He would create characters, he would create the plot, he would create jokes, he would sometimes create music around it. And for an hour or two,